I became interested in his time in the service a few years ago and visited many of the battle sites where he was at and talked to some soldiers and relatives of the soldiers about their experiences. And the common thread to all this is that they all told me pretty much the same thing, that their fathers or grandfathers never spoke about the war, didn't talk about it, occasionally talked about being in the service and, you know, funny things that happened or things that annoyed them, that the army life, you know, the old hurry up to wait kind of scenario, that annoying stuff and the bad food. And then I started to give some thought to trying to maybe memorialize this, because I realized that these soldiers, their experiences and the sacrifices that they made silenced them. They just didn't want to talk about it. And, you know, the Americans and the Allies, when it comes right down to it, they saved the world. And through my travels and going behind the scenes to see what happened, the more I saw, honestly, the more humbled I became. It was horrific, so many things that happened. And this particular unit and its sister unit, the 320th Glider Field Artillery, these were paratroopers that in an artillery outfit, okay? So the way they were inserted into combat, Normandy, for example, they would take a 75 millimeter or 105 millimeter howitzer and put it into a glider with four or five men and ammunition. In the case of Normandy, they used British gliders, Horsa gliders, which are a lot twice the size of American gliders. So they could fit a Jeep, a quarter ton Jeep, which could weigh well over 1,500 pounds, and then a big howitzer and five or six or seven men, and get towed by a C-47 across the channel in the middle of the night, and while you're being shot at, cut you loose and let you crash to get on the ground. Normandy was a real problem. This was the first time they had done anything of this size, and they came in at night around 10 o'clock that evening and underestimated the fields where they were going to land. Most of them, these gliders were coming in well over 100 miles an hour and need well over 1,000 feet to stop. And they were trying to glide into small fields that were lined with hedgerows. And suffice to say that close to 50% of the men in the unit were either wounded or killed just getting on the ground. So I thought, you know, I wanted to, again, have a record of this. I didn't want to write a book, and so I had the thought of a website and thought that this could survive the time. And as I came up with more ideas for the website, which is 319gliderman.com, I decided that I was going to add a soldier gallery. Well, there's 500 to 1,000 men in the battalion. You had the A battery, the B battery, the headquarters battery, and then the medical detachment, and then all the officers that were involved. So I wanted to put a little different twist on it. All these men are passed away now, so I thought the only way I can get new information or new photographs or new images of anything was to locate relatives and see if I can get them to cooperate with me. So I'm a retired detective. I did detective work for over 40 years, and I used my skills to find people and then convince them to talk to me. And it was a lot easier than detective work, because now I'm talking to people that aren't lying to me or hiding from me like they were all the years yeah, when I was yeah. working. And as long as I could quickly convince them that I'm not selling anything, nor am I looking for donations, and many of them I have information about their father or grandfather, whoever it is, and I've had enormous success with finding people and collecting information. So, and writing not just a story of, you know, like name, rank, serial number type of things, you know, a real nice biography story. And a lot of people have been great to help me, and Paps Hall, the folks there, and some people here. I got to give a shout out to Dave Allen. He's helped me immensely. And I've met, just this week alone, I've interviewed four or five people in Market Harborough that that have had some amazing stories to tell me. You and I talked about one a few minutes ago that I did not see coming. And that's the kind of the fun kind of like Christmas morning aspect of this business. You know, you're this, all of a sudden this unexpected nice gift comes to you on Christmas morning and you're just,
yeah. Could you just tell us what that was? I know you mentioned it to me, but we weren't recording.
Well, there's a gentleman in town. I didn't get permission to say his name. So his name is John, an elderly man. And at the time, he was just a young boy, like 9 or 10, 11 years old. And the young boys used to sneak over to Pabst Hall, and there was a railhead that run behind it. So they would come in through the rear and sneak up there, and they got to know some of the soldiers. They couldn't come in from the road because it was guarded with sentries. And I'm sure the soldiers were probably finding some way to give them money, maybe to shine their boots or do chores or that sort of thing. And the kids were looking for chocolate and candy and that sort of thing. And this one soldier, he was from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He took a liking to a couple of these kids. And back home, he was a Cub Scout or a Boy Scout master like that. And he was telling them that the kids should get involved with all this business, and even met with their families and was trying to encourage them to do stuff like this, you know, to keep the kids involved in clean organization sports and keep them out of trouble, right? And during the conversation, John mentioned to me at the very end of it, he says, "Oh, and one thing," he says, "Marvin told me a few days before it happened what day D-Day was going to be." Now, when he said that, he chuckled, and I chuckled as well too, because that was one of the best kept secrets of the universe. What day D-Day was? Who knew it was going to be June 6th? Now here you had this soldier entrusting this 10-year-old with one of the best kept secrets on the planet, and told him he couldn't tell anybody. And then he immediately said, "Of course, I did not say anyone. I gave him my word." And of course, we had a little chuckle over it. But you know, fun things that happen like that. And I've helped a couple other people try to get some photos that they had of soldiers, some gals that, you know, had some love interests, and then the men left. And there's kind of another sad story. This gal in town, her name was Pat, and she was involved with the soldier who unfortunately was killed in Normandy. And she had a lot of great photographs. They're at the museum. I spoke to the folks at the museum, and they were very nice. They scanned some things for me. They gave me a really nice photograph of the infamous green slippers from Pabst Hall that they're supposedly cursed. If you touch them or put them on, you know, you'll die or something like that. I don't know all the details about the curse. Everybody's been very nice, and I still have more interviews to do. Three more people want to talk to me, and I suspect that I'm hoping that one of the things that happens, if there's a little bit of notoriety that goes out about it, like I was telling Dave Allen last night, I says, I bet you there's somebody in Market Harborough who, they may not even know it, that is sitting on a pile of photographs from back at that time, and don't maybe not even know it, you know, and perhaps this could spark the interest, and we could get a lead and collect more information. There were the officers in town were prolific picture takers. The higher officers, like the colonels and lieutenant colonels and majors, they stayed at the Park House. Okay, captains were at the Burn Mill House, I believe I'm saying, and then there's a couple other ones, and they all took pictures, and they used one. Photography store in town. The name escapes me at this point. It obviously it's gone, but they had all their pictures taken there. So my guess is there's a lot more out there. People just may not know that they have them or whatever. And perhaps people, some of these diaries that I read, there could be some of that, letters to home, love letters. There was a lot of young men and a lot of young women for that short period of time, and so maybe there might be some more successes there. A lot of people have been great to help me, Pabst Hall, the folks there, and I got to give a shout out to Dave Allen. He's helped me immensely, and And I've met, just this week alone, I've interviewed four or five people in Market Harborough that have had some amazing stories to tell me. I bet you there's somebody in Market Harborough who, they may not even know it, that is sitting on a pile of photographs from back at that time, you know, and perhaps this could spark the interest and we could get a lead and collect more information.